Welcome to the Charis Christian Center podcast.
Praise the Lord. God is so good. How many of you love the Word? Let's open the Bible to 1 John chapter 2, and we're going to be talking about overcoming through Christ. Last week, we talked about fellowship with God, but we're starting in 1 John chapter 2, verse 6. It says, "He who says he abides in him should himself walk even as he, Jesus, walked." If you say that you are abiding in Christ, you should always walk as Jesus walked. How do we do that? How do we live the overcoming life? John knew how to overcome. In fact, this book is written about 90 AD, a little bit maybe after that, most Bible scholars believe. So John had been serving Jesus for over 60 years. He had faced multiple problems, multiple difficulties, challenges, different things coming against him, and yet he was still passionate about his relationship with Jesus, and he was living a victorious life. So the first way we do it is through our relationship with Jesus and his word. Let's read the first six verses. "My little children, these things I write to you that you do not sin. If any man sin, we have a friend with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. Hereby we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that says, 'I know him,' and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him should walk even as he walked." We overcome through our relationship with Jesus and through our relationship with his word. He says, "I'm writing to you that you don't sin, but if you sin, we have an advocate. We have a friend with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. And he is the propitiation. He is the covering. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins." Romans 3:25, speaking of Jesus, says, "Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation." Again, a covering, an atoning sacrifice for our sins through faith in his blood. "To declare at this time his righteousness, for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God." He is the covering for our sins. How many of you glad that the blood of Jesus has atoned for, has paid for, has covered our sins? He says not only for our sins, but also for the sins of the whole world. The sins of the whole world have already been paid for. When we share the gospel, we share the good news that God was in Christ, not imputing, not totaling up, not keeping account, not keeping a record of our sins. That's the good news. That's the truth of the gospel. They've already been paid for. They've already been covered. What does it mean to cover your sins? Years ago, when I pastored in Kit Carson, one of my friends came and helped me grind hay that winter. We were grinding these giant, you know, one-ton bales. We called it hay, but it's weeds and cane. And we'd mix two or three weed bales to one cane bale. Weed bales have a lot of protein. Cane bale makes it more palatable. And then we'd run water on it, put some stuff to keep the cattle from getting lumps in their mouth. So we had cheap feed, work really good to grow cattle, and they actually like it once they get on to eating it. But anyway, my friend borrowed his friend's grinder. He had a grinder, but he's out in the country. His friend's was just right down the road. So he just borrowed his friend's to do the grinding. And when the winter was over, my friend, we used his tractor, his loader, right? But his friend's grinder. His friend came to me and demanded that I pay him. Not just the amount that it would cost to use the grinder, but the amount that it would cost to use my own tractor, my own, you know, his tractor, his loader, and his grinder, and his fuel, and the labor. What I could have done at custom. So I was really upset. So I called my friend, and my friend said, "I want you right now to come and see me that did the grinding for him." I told him what his friend was demanding. So I went out to see him, and he just wrote me a check for $2,000. Said, "Now, it's been taken care of. It's been covered. Amen. I never even told his friend. I just went and deposited it in my account. I wrote his friend a check for $2,000, never said a word to him, but it was covered. It was taken care of. It didn't cost me 10 cents. Amen. And I don't think my friend ever told his friend about it. Amen. Hallelujah. It's covered. See, Jesus not only paid for our sins, he paid for the sins of the whole world. In this scripture, in Romans 3:25, he was a propitiation, a payment, a covering through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission. That word remission means the absolute pardon of our sins as if they were never committed. How many of you are glad when God looks at you, he sees you through the blood of Jesus? He doesn't see you as a sinner. He sees you as a saint. He sees you in your full potential in Christ. Now, when you read that scripture, you say, but Pastor, it says the remission of sins that are past. Well, to me, and I might have to get to heaven before I know the absolute answer to this question, but to me, the past tense that this scripture reminds me of is the past tense of the cross. Because Jesus said three beautiful words on the cross in John 19, verse 30. He said, it is finished. In other words, Jesus paid for all the sins of the world, of humanity, of all time. He paid for every sin from Adam, the first man, to Armageddon, the end of time. At one time, on the cross, amen, in his death. He doesn't have to go again to the cross because somebody sins. It's already been paid for. It's already been covered. It's already been taken care of. Notice what he says, the remission of sins that are past. To me, that's the past tense of the cross. Through the forbearance of God. In other words, God knew you would do it and forgave you anyway. Did you know what that is? That is the good news. That is the gospel. Jesus has already paid for our sins, not only for our sins, but the sins of the whole world. Now, if you're going to receive it, you got to believe it. Amen? Only one condition. You just have to believe to receive. Right? We call that the law of faith. Amen? So you've got to believe Jesus to receive forgiveness of sin. Amen? You got to believe Jesus to receive the grace of God. So he said, the remission of sins. So how do we overcome? Did you know the goal of Christianity is not to overcome sin and overcome Satan? The goal of Christianity is to walk in a relationship with God. Because through your relationship with God in Christ, you have already been made a world overcomer. That's why God sent Jesus to do it for us, because we couldn't do it on our own. Notice another thing as we look at this. He says, he is the propitiation. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, but not only for ours, for the sins of the whole world. The whole world's sin have already been paid for, but they have to hear the gospel and believe it to receive it. Now, he goes on and says, hereby we know that we know him if we keep his word. He that says, I know him and doesn't keep his word is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Whoever keeps his word in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby we know that we're in him. Well, how do we know that we're in him? Praise God. When you keep his word. Now, keeping his word doesn't put you in him. But because you're in him, it causes you to keep his word. He that says he abides in him should walk even as Jesus walked. So number one, we overcome, right, through our relationship with Jesus and our relationship with the word. See, the moment that you believe on Jesus, you are made a world overcomer. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Son of God overcomes the world. Amen. So the moment that you believe in your spirit, you're made a world overcomer. And the way that you overcome in this life is you keep living by faith. Right? But not only our relationship with Jesus, also our relationship with the Word. James 1:18 says this, of his own will he begat us, or we were born. Of his own will We were born of God with the word of truth that we should be a kind of first fruit of his creation. Guess what? God doesn't have any second fruit. He only has first fruit. God doesn't have any second class citizens, right? He only has first class. Everybody say, I am a first class child of the Almighty God. Amen. Praise the Lord. There's no second fruit, right? It's only first fruit. It's only first class children of the Almighty God. All the promises of God in him are yes and amen to the glory of God by us. You see, my life changed not only when I believed on Jesus and received him as my Lord and Savior, but my life changed when I got a revelation of who I was in Christ, and I got a revelation of the promises of God that were mine. I was born again. I received Jesus as my Savior when I was 8. But when I was 14 years old, I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And also, when that happened, the Word of God came alive to me. It's like it set me on fire. And I started believing God like I had never believed God before. I started believing when I was 14, I can have a good family. I can provide well for my wife. I can have good provide well for my children. I can live healthy. I can live strong. I can live a blessed life. Do you know why I believe? Because in our family, my family struggled financially. My mom was a school teacher. My dad had a very debilitating disease where he could only work on the farm. He couldn't work jobs outside of that. And my dad was brilliant in his mind, but he was limited because of the disease that he had. So when I heard the full gospel preached that you can be free, you can be free from sin, you can be free from sickness, you can be free from poverty, you can be free from controlling habits. You can be free. I got so excited because it was so real to me. Amen. It changed our family. It changed my life. It changed my dad's life. It changed my mom's life. See, before we started going to that Bible study when I was 14 and where we got baptized in the Holy Spirit and began to believe the Word of God, my dad had a terrible drinking problem. My mom and dad had terrible relational problems. My mom was actually talking about getting a divorce with my dad. And she asked me, and I said, no, I don't think you should do that. But when we started going to the Bible study and started believing the Word of God, our lives began to change in a very positive way. And we began to believe God for our health. We began to believe God for financial provision. We began to believe God for deliverance. My dad was delivered from alcohol. He was delivered from nicotine. He was delivered from pornography. He was delivered by the grace of Almighty God. Thank God we got a Bible full of promises that we can believe, and we don't have to live a life defeated by the devil. We can overcome through our relationship with Jesus and through our relationship with his word. Amen. The second way that we overcome is through the nature of God in us. Let's read in verse 7 through verse 11. Brethren, I don't write any new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shines. Listen to what he said. Verse 8, let's read it again. Again, a new commandment I write to you. This thing is true in him. Everybody say, I'm in him. Amen. And he's in me. And in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shines. You see, what happens when you get born again is the light of God, it's not only in Jesus, but the light of God. His light is on the inside of you. You have his nature on the inside of you. Remember, we read the verse last week from 1 John 1:5. This is the message that we heard of him, and we declare to you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. And then we read the verse in John chapter 8, verse 12, where Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the very light of life. Guess what? Light is stronger than the darkness. Amen? When we came into this room today, we did not curse the darkness. We turned on the light. Amen? Guess what? Light is stronger than darkness. Light overcomes darkness. You know, I have a preacher friend. If I shared his name, most of you would know who he is. And I heard him talking about this present darkness. Well, I got something that's greater than this present darkness. It is that Jesus is the light of the world, and Jesus has taken up residence on the inside of me, and his light is greater than the darkness that is in this world. Thank God. Amen. So I'm not talking about this present dark. I understand there is darkness that is present in the world. It is everywhere. But I am not talking about the darkness. I'm not giving glory or honor to the darkness. I'm talking about Jesus is the light of the world, and he lives in me. And the light of Jesus in me is greater than the darkness in this world. And when you begin to understand that, it changes how you live your life. Some people give the devil more glory than they give God. Quit giving the devil so much airtime. Amen. Amen. I know it's real. I know it's here. I know it's a mess. You don't have to. Doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out. But I know that God on the inside of me is greater than the darkness in this world. I know the light on the inside of me is greater than the darkness in this world. Amen? So Jesus is living on the inside of me. I have his nature in me. Jesus went on to say this. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. Let's look in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 through verse 16. He said, you're the light of the world. So not only did Jesus say, I'm the light of the world, he said, you're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel. You don't light a lamp and put a basket over it, put a barrel over it, right? He said, no, you don't light a light to put a barrel over it, but you put it on a lampstand. Why? So it can bring light to the whole house. He goes on and says this, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So you got the light of God in you, and the light of God in you is greater than the darkness in this world. Not only do you have the light of God in you, but you have the love of God in you, and the love of God in you is greater than the hatred that is in this world. Let's read just a little bit farther. He says, he that saith in verse 9 that he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness even till now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no occasion of stumbling in him. Do you want to be in a place where the devil can't touch you? Keep walking in love. Keep walking in light. Not only does the Bible say that God is light, the Bible says that God is love. 1 John 4:7-8 says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, because God is love. Well, not only is God love, but the Bible says in Romans 5, verse 5, that the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost that's given to us. I'm telling you, some of the problems that we deal with, I do not feel like walking in love. I do not feel like responding in love. If I told you what I felt like, some of you wouldn't think I should be pastoring, okay? Before I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, I really had a bad cussing problem, right? So did my dad. I mean, we'd have cussing contests. I mean, it was rough. We'd cuss till the air turned purple. I mean, it was bad, right? But when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, the Lord began to work on that. And when I got a revelation of grace, it's like, wow, I'm living in a... Now, it was 16 years after I got baptized in the Holy Spirit and called to preach before I got a revelation of grace. I'd already been pastoring for 6 years when I got a revelation of grace. But when I got a revelation of grace, it revolutionized my life. Barbara says I'm not even like living with the same person. But I was joking one time. Okay, it's okay if we joke, okay? Don't take yourself too serious. I was preaching in Chicago, and I said this. I said, you know, I hardly ever cuss anymore. But I said, I feel like cussing almost every week. And this lady got mad at me because I said, I feel like cussing. I said, well, you know, I pastor a lot of sheep, and there's a few goats. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And she got mad. No, I didn't say I was cussing. I said I felt like cussing. Some people just, they can't even take a joke. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm still a human being, okay? I still have emotions. And contrary to some people's opinions, your emotions aren't all bad. Jesus had some emotions too. If you read the New Testament, and if you read the Old Testament, God has some emotions too. So you just need to reread your Bible. Amen? So emotions, you just got to get your emotions under the influence of the Holy Ghost. Everybody say the influence of the Holy Ghost. So I've got the love. I don't always feel like loving people, but do you know what? I have the love of God in me, and because I have the love of God in me, I have the ability to love my brother. And guess what? Love is greater than hatred. I don't talk about all the hatred. There's a lot of hatred in the world. There's a lot of crazy in the world, but I'm not talking about all the hatred in the world. Why? Because the love of God in me is greater than the hatred that's in this world. Amen? Sometimes people that are in the world, we'll see them different places, and their spirit will just like, it'll just rise up like a cat with the hair rubbed backwards. You know, the other day we were downtown taking care of some business, Aaron and Heather and I, and this one girl came walking fast, and she walked by me, and when she walked by me, she said a bunch of explicitives. Now, I didn't hear them. Heather was closer to her, so Heather heard what she said. Heather said, something in her didn't like something in you. Well, the love of God in me is greater than the hatred in this world. The light of God in me is greater than the darkness in this world. I don't have to let the hatred that is in them control me. I don't have to let the darkness that is in them control me. I've got the light of God in me. I've got the love of God in me. And the love of God is shed abroad in my heart. I got to get it from my heart. Amen. By the Holy Ghost. That's given to me. I have the ability to love my brother because God lives in me. God is love. So how do we overcome? We overcome, number one, through our relationship with Jesus and his word. We overcome, number two, through the nature of Jesus Christ on the inside of us. We have the very same life that raised up Jesus from the dead living in us. We have his light in us. We have his love in us. And we overcome because of his nature in us. Now get this one. Verse 12 through verse 15. Let's read verse 12 through verse 14 actually. I overcome through what God has given me, through what I already have in Christ. Notice this in verse 12. I write unto you little children because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. He didn't say, I'm writing to you so you can be forgiven. He says, I'm writing to you because you are forgiven. Everybody say, I am forgiven. Do you know what? It changes your relationship when you realize you're already forgiven. All right, now I'm going to give you an example, okay? So don't take this wrong. But Barbara and I, we are very strong-willed people, okay? And sometimes Barbara and I look at things differently, amen? Now, I will tell you that I am a little bit stronger-willed than Barbara, but not very much. You see her beautiful red hair. Hallelujah, she comes by that honestly. But sometimes we don't agree on everything. And sometimes we look at things differently. And sometimes when we're communicating, we haven't been communicating the best. No, what I'm saying is, like the other day, I was on the way back from a meeting. It was late in the evening. Barbara had been waiting for me all evening. She wanted to go on a walk with me, right? And we were, when I got in the truck to come home, it was about a 20-minute drive. I started talking to her on the phone. She said, when you gonna, I said, I'll be here about this time. And then we were gonna go walking. Barbara and I were talking about the same exact thing. We both wanted the same exact thing. However, when I was talking to Barbara, she did not understand what I was saying, and I did not understand what she was saying. So we had a little confrontation. Okay? And I got home, and I had been on the phone with her a minute earlier. And I drove my truck in the garage, and I went in, and I realized she's already left on the walk because of our confrontation. So I ran out the door, and I caught up with her, and we walked, and we had a very good walk. And we had a very good discussion. But our relationship is secure because I know I am already forgiven. And Barbara knows. See, that's, you know what? Yeah, I had a good friend. He loved God. He loved Jesus. And he was married to a woman that claimed to love God and love Jesus. But he told me she filed for a divorce, and I didn't even know we had a problem because they never communicated. Guess what? Communication is a good thing. And it's better sometimes for to communicate, even if you don't quite see eye to eye. It's better to communicate and work things out than not to communicate. All right, now in our relationship with God, you are already forgiven. Amen. You're already forgiven. And you know why your relationship with God works? Because you know that you're already, everybody say, I am already forgiven for my sins. He doesn't say, so you can be forgiven. He says, I'm writing to you because you are forgiven. Everybody say, I'm forgiven. For all of my sins, the blood of Jesus paid for all of my sins. Jesus made one offering for all sins of all times on the cross, and it's already finished. It's already done. Do you know what? You don't have to come to the altar and cry crocodile tears and try to beg God to forgive you. He's already forgiven you. He's just waiting for you to run to him. He rules from a throne of grace. And the Bible tells us that when we're in need, we need to run to the throne of grace to obtain help in a time of need. Amen. You're already forgiven. Number one, you are forgiven. What do we have? We have forgiveness of our sins. He goes on in verse 13. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. You have known the eternal God. He says, I write unto you, little children, in the last of verse 13, because you have known the Father. He says in verse 14, I've written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. And I've written unto you, young men. Again, because you've known him. So number one, we already have forgiveness of sin. Number two, we have a right to a vital, living, life-giving relationship with God. What is the goal of Christianity? It's not to overcome sin. It's not to overcome Satan. You can't overcome sin. You can't overcome Satan in your own strength and power. The only way that you can overcome sin and Satan is through your relationship with God in Christ, understanding that Jesus has already overcome the wicked one. He's already overcome the devil, and the moment that you believe on him, you are made an overcomer. When you understand that, it changes how you live your life. It changes because I'm not fighting to gain a position of victory. I'm fighting my victory to defend. You have known him. See, Paul says, this is the goal of the gospel. Philippians 3:10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, being made conformable to his death. Right? That I may know him. That's the goal of the gospel. Hebrews says in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10, they will all know me from the least to the greatest. Turn with me to Jeremiah 31, verse 33 and verse 34. Look at what Jeremiah says. This shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I'll put my law in their inward parts. I'll write it in their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people, and they will teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they all will know me, from the greatest of them, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity. I will forgive their rebellion, and I will remember their sin no more. How many of you are glad that God has already forgiven you and he's not remembering your sin anymore? You have a right to know God. Young men, old men, little children, know God. That's the goal of the gospel. Know Jesus. Experience grace, build relationships, live with purpose. That's the goal of the gospel. Amen. You need to know him. Number one, I'm writing to you because you're forgiven. Number two, because you've known him. That's from the beginning. Let's go on down to verse 13. Notice what he goes on to say. I write to you, young men, not so that you might, but because you have overcome the wicked one. You already have overcome the wicked one. Notice what he says again in verse 14. I have written unto you, young men, because you're strong and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. What do you have? I am forgiven. I have a relationship with God. I am an overcomer. I'm not trying to overcome. I have already overcome. See, 1 John 4:4 says, greater is he that's in you than he who's in the world. Let's look at 1 John chapter 5. We'll read verses 4 and verse 5. He said, for whoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? When were you made a world overcomer? The moment that you believe Jesus. The moment that you were born again, you're already a world overcomer, but you've got to believe it to receive it. He says two more things. If we go back to chapter 1, verse 14, he says again, I've written unto you, fathers, because you've known him that's from the beginning. I've written unto you, young men, because you're strong and the word of God abides in you. See, you have the incorruptible, indestructible word of the Almighty God living on the inside of you. You have been born again by the incorruptible seed of the word that is living and abiding forever. It never loses its power. Amen. You have the seed of God's word on the inside in your spirit the moment you believe on Jesus. So he says, I've written unto you. Number one, what do we? We have forgiveness of sin. We have a relationship with God. We have overcome the wicked one. And then he says, you are strong. I loved it when Aaron shared from Ephesians 6:10 today. He says, finally, my brethren, because you know who Jesus is and what he's done, because you know how to walk it out in this world, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Where's your strength? In the Lord, and in the power, and in the authority of his ability, in the Greek. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Where's your strength? Your strength is in the Lord, and in the authority of his ability. It's not your ability, but his ability. And his ability works when you take your authority. So he says, I'm writing to you because you are forgiven, you have a relationship with God, you have overcome the wicked one, you are strong, and the word of God abides in you. You have been born again by the incorruptible seed of the word of God that is living and abiding. When you understand that, guess what? The world, the flesh, and the devil are no problem. Everybody say, no problem. Now he says in verse 15 to verse 17, look at what he says. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It's not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passes away and the lust thereof, but he that does the will of God abides forever. Now, when you look at that verse, right, you see those things. What was Eve tempted with in the garden? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Amen? Adam tempted the same thing. Right? What was Jesus tempted with in Matthew 4 and Mark 4 before he entered into the ministry? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Now, when you understand that you are forgiven, that you have a relationship with God, that you have overcome the wicked one, that you are strong and the Word abides in you, guess what? The Word, the world, excuse me, the flesh, and the devil are no match for Christ on the inside of you when you understand what you have. See, God in you is greater than the devil in this world. I'm only going to talk about one of these today, but I'm going to talk about it. When you read the temptation in Genesis chapter 3, when Eve ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, it says she looked on the tree and she saw that the fruit of it, it was pleasant to the eyes. You have to realize there may be things that are pleasant to the eyes of your flesh, but they will not be pleasant to live with. Mark Hankins talks about his mama. Mark Hankins' mama was a very spirit-filled woman. And he brought home a girlfriend, right? In her mini skirt. And Mark Hankins' mama gave him a word. And she said, you may want what you see, right? You may like what you see, but you may not like what you get. And there some of you are seeing, not with the eyes of your spirit, but with the eyes of your flesh. And if it's not the eyes of your spirit, you may like what you see, but you may not want what you get. Amen? So Mark Hankins' mama prayed for him. And you know what? God delivered him. When I was a young man, there's this one girl came to our youth group and she got saved, but she was trouble all over. And you know what? My pastor prayed for me. My pastor's secretary prayed for me. My pastor's wife prayed for me. Amen. And you know what? God delivered me. One of the things Jesus said, deliver us from evil. Amen. Deliver us. You may want what you see, but you may not like what you get. So you better make sure you're being led and directed by the Holy Ghost. Amen. And not by your flesh. I had this boy that worked with me at Dr. Lester Summerall's. He came to go to Bible school. He said, hey, did you see my girlfriend? And I told him some very straight truth. Well, he didn't make it through Bible school. He didn't make it through 2 months. But because you might like what you see, but you might not like what you get. Because not only is there a God in heaven, there is a devil in hell. But if you'll realize what God gave you, that you are forgiven, you have a relationship with God, you have overcome the wicked one, you are strong, and the Word of God abides in you, the world, the flesh, and the devil are no match for the God who's living in you. Now, the last way we overcome, I'm going to go really fast, okay? In verse 18 through verse 29. Little children, it's the last time, and you have heard that the Antichrist shall come. Even now, there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it's the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they were of us, they would have no doubt continued with us, but they went out that they might be manifest that they were not of us. But you have an unction, you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. If you will listen to the Spirit inside of you instead of your brain, the anointing will protect you from the spirit of Antichrist that is in the world. I have not written unto you. Look at verse 21. Because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and no lie is of the truth. Do you know what? If you're telling lies, you shouldn't be telling. And I know lots of Christians that lie. But don't lie, tell the truth. The truth is always better than a lie. You know the anointing that you have an anointing of truth. Amen? You have an anointing of light. You have an anointing of love. That is who God is. He goes on, who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is the Antichrist that denies the Father and the Son. If they do not confess that Christ came in the flesh, that Jesus is God manifest in the flesh, they are not of God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist. Whoever denies the Son, the same has not the Father, but he that acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Let therefore that abide in you which you have heard, verse 24, from the beginning. If what you have heard from the beginning remains in you, you shall continue in the Son and in the Father. Hold on to what you've been given. And this is the promise that he has promised us, even eternal life. Not only do you have an anointing of truth, but you have an anointing of life. Amen? Guess what? The light of God in you is greater than the darkness in the world. The love of God in you is greater than the hatred that is in the world. The life of God in you is greater than the death that's in this world. And the truth of God in you is greater than the lies that are in this world. Hallelujah. These things have I written to you concerning those who seduce you. But the anointing which you have received of him abides in you. And you need not that any man teach you. That doesn't mean you don't need apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. But that means you've got the Spirit of God on the inside of you. And you can rely on him. And he will protect you from the spirit of Antichrist that is in this world. Now little children, abide in him that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who does righteousness is born of him. How do I overcome? I overcome through the anointing on the inside of me. Paul said, this is the mystery that has been hidden from every age and generation that I am now declaring unto you. Christ, the anointed one in you, the hope of glory. Because we have Jesus, the anointed one in us. We do not have to fear the spirit of Antichrist that's in this world. We don't have to fear the darkness that's in this world, the death that's in this world, the hatred that's in this world. We don't have to fear any of it, because God is greater in us than the devil in this world. How do I live out this victory that Christ bought for me? How do I live the overcoming life? I just let Jesus live his righteous, pure life big in me. God bless you. I love you.
Thank you for listening to the Charis Christian Center podcast. If you would like to receive prayer, product, or more information about the ministry, go to www.charischristiancenter.com or call us at 719-418-4000.